is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and with me tonight, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and also tonight, our good friend, Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the Santo Church of Christ, will be running our boards and giving us some information from time to time. As most of you realize, this past Sunday was a national holiday that is known as Mother's Day. And I'm sure that all people will agree that there are some good mothers and there are some bad mothers. But what is a good mother? And by what definition does one define a woman as being a good mother? One mother to one person might be good, and it might not be a good mother to another person. How do we come to understanding what really is a good mother? Well, tonight we're going to be looking at the biblical model of motherhood. And so our objective tonight is to show the biblical concept, the biblical model of motherhood versus the worldly concept of motherhood. And as we begin to think about this tonight, I want you to consider with me a passage from the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, so then, in Proverbs chapter 14 verse 7, it says, for none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself. Romans 14 and verse 7. And so we learn here that no man is an island. No man liveth unto himself. You cannot live without having some kind of effect on the people round about you. You have an effect by the things that you do. You can have an effect by the things that you do not do. And this is certainly true with regard to mothers. Mothers have an effect on their children by the things that they do, and also by the things that perhaps they do not do. Another passage you might want to consider is Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The question then that we have for our mothers tonight is, how are you training your children? Are you training them in the ways of God or in the ways of man? Does a mother become a good mother by following the ways of God or the ways of man? Those are the things that we're going to be looking at tonight. What makes a good mother? What is the model that all mothers should follow to make a good model? Tonight we're going to be looking at this from a biblical standpoint. Remember, our motto is, you've heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. David, where are we airing from tonight?
Well, Tom, we are broadcasting from Eastland, Texas at KATX 97.7 FM. We are broadcasting from the Hereford Canyon Amarillo area on KNNK 100.5 FM. In the Stephenville area, you can pick us up on a couple of stations. KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, and also KOME 95.3 out of Glen Rose. If you are up in the Lubbock area, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock and KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. Also, we are you're able to pick us up on the gospelradionetwork.org. And another way to find that is go to the Harrison Moore .org. If you will Google that, it'll take you right to that Gospel Radio Network. Click on the microphone and you are in. This program is also, Tom, going to be rebroadcast tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Tuesday morning at this website, theharrisonmoore.org. And as you mentioned just a moment ago, you've heard what men have had to say, and now let's hear what the Bible has to say. This has been our objective throughout our years here on the radio. We want people to know what God's Word has to say about these issues that affect us each and every day of, day of our lives. This is a live call-in program, and we would encourage you to pick up the phone and call. We will pick up the tab. Call us with your questions. Call us with your comments. Call us if you agree or disagree, and we will find out what the Bible has to say, and let the Bible be the standard of right and wrong here. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Just spell it out. 1-855-Q as in questions, A as in answers, B-I-B-L-E. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Write that one down and call us if you have a question. We would love to hear from you. Also, you can email your questions at questions@harrisonmoore.org, and they will go to my personal email and Tom's personal email, and we will give you a Bible answer for your question. If you get on the gospelradionetwork.org or the harrisonmoore.org, you can go to the chat room there. And in that chat room, you can type in your questions or your comments. And as we go through the program, we will constantly keep abreast of the things that are on the chat box, and we will try to incorporate those in the radio program as well. You can get on your smartphone, go Google harrisonmoore.org on your smartphone, and our website will come right up, and you can listen to us on your smartphone and go right on doing whatever it is that you're doing. And so those are the ways that you can listen to us here on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. We encourage you to try one or all of those manners. And Tom's got something
else.
Well,
I might also mention that we have a podcast available. If you'll go to the Harrison Moore website, at the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see the RSS feed. Click on that, then you can sign up for the podcast, and then you will get a notification every time a new podcast is brought up, and you can listen to us anytime throughout the day that you would like to.
Also, you get on Facebook and like us on Facebook.
Exactly.
There you go. So we're talking tonight about the biblical model of motherhood, and the objective of this program tonight is to show the biblical concept of motherhood versus the worldly concept of motherhood. And as Tom told us just a moment ago in Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, it says, "Therefore, none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself." And what that means is what you or I do in this lifetime is going to have an effect on those people that are around us, and no one hardly has any more effect on their own children than the mothers themselves. No one has any more influence on children than the mother.
And you know, David, that's well illustrated throughout history. For example, Judith Force tells of her visit to a children's hospital, and she came upon a little boy with burns over 60% of his body. Someone had poured coal oil on his body and set him on fire, and in his pain, he was crying out for his mother, even though it was his mother who had set him on fire. You see, there is a bond between a mother and a child, and it's truly an amazing force. With that bond comes the power of good or evil, and the influence of her power, of a mother's power, is passed on for generations to generations. David, how many daughters of their mother have ended up being just like the mother and on down through the line?
Well, they're countless. And while we're on that that power of influence, you know, we cannot get away from the power of influence.
No,
the power of influence is a tremendous thing. But, you know, we hear oftentimes in the society that we live, Tom, that we have lost our moral compass. And I'm afraid that when people make that statement, they really don't know what they are saying, mm-hmm. because the only moral compass that will point us in the direction that we need to go is the Bible. And people don't want to say we've lost track of what the Bible has to say about what we need to do. And so they use these cute little sayings like we've lost our moral compass, where our moral compass can be nothing more than God's Word directing us in the direction that we should go.
And that's the reason why a lot of people do not understand what a good mother or a bad mother is.
Mm-hmm.
They're basing their idea on worldly aspect. You know, something people think, well, if your mother provides you everything you need, she's a good mother. Well, if they don't provide, sometimes we don't realize that there are things that need to be provided by a mother to a child that the world does not understand, because they're following a faulty compass, or they're not going the proper direction of the compass. They're using a compass that's not biblically based. And that's what we need in our world today. Mothers who have a biblical compass that's going to take the family in the right direction.
It is a crying shame to know that there are many mothers out there who have based their motherhood on things that they learn on The View.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a horrible worldly view of what feminism and motherhood and wifehood ought to be.
You know, feminism and motherhood are diametrically opposed to one another when you look at motherhood from a biblical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David, we talk about this idea of the model of motherhood. You know, there was a mother in Glenrose just a few weeks ago who placed her 2-year-old baby in an oven. And the mother was believed also to be high on meth. Would you call that a good mother?
Well, no, and most people would not. But then if you do not have the correct standard to determine and to make the discernment between that which is right and that which is wrong, who's to say was she a good mother, was she a bad mother?
Exactly. And to show you just how important mothers are to the raising of the children, a nurse who had worked on the front lines in times of war said that mortally wounded men always cried out for their mothers. She said, "I never once heard them call out for anyone else. It was always their mother." And therein, David, we see the powerful influence that a mother has on her children.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you see it over and over and over throughout our society. And in those victories when the football hero crosses the line and smashes the ball down on the goal line and looks into the camera, what does he say? He always says, "Hi, Mom." What power do mothers hold over 300-pound football players? The bond between a mother and her child is a tremendous, tremendous bond.
And for that very reason, that's why it's so important, David, that we talk about this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because our nation is only going to be as strong as the family is, and a family is not going to be strong as it ought to be if they're not being modeled from a biblical standpoint, if their moral compass is the Bible. You know, David, a man by the name of William Ross Wallace, back in 1865, that's during the Civil War time, right?
I think so.
He says this, "They say that man is mighty. He governs land and sea. He wields a mighty scepter or lesser powers that be. But a mightier power and stronger man from his throne has hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. I don't know that, David, there's been a truer statement than that, and the power and the influence that mothers have on their children.
There is absolutely no doubt. The influence is absolutely tremendous. As we look at the biblical model of motherhood today, Tom, let's begin this by noticing what the Bible has to say about this situation. And there is there's a tremendous contrast at which we can look tonight that will show us the difference between worldly mothers and godly mothers. And one is named Jezebel. That would be of the worldly sort. And the other one would be named Hannah. Isn't it an interesting thing that you have never met anybody in your lifetime named Jezebel?
No, I have not, because just the very sound of her word shows of the evil that she was. And what's so sad, David, is that she was also a mother, and we're going to talk about her daughter in just a moment.
Well, I mean, Frank, you know, Tom is always talking about how old you are. You're older than he's been. Have you ever heard of a girl named Jezebel?
Never met anyone.
Not in your lifetime. Not in your lifetime.
But there's been a lot of girls named Hannah.
Oh, a tremendous number of girls named Hannah. So we've got a tremendous contrast here that the Bible gives us, and we want you to keep in mind as we go through this contrast, Romans chapter 14, verse 7 again. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. Now, to begin with, we want to give you just a taste of what Jezebel is like, according to the scriptures, and then we'll give you just a little a preview of what Hannah is like. Tom, if you've got that passage of scripture there in 1 Kings 21.
Yeah, in 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning in verse 7 through verse 10, we get a little insight into the kind of woman that Jezebel was. Now, in this context, Ahab wanted to buy a vineyard from Naboth. Naboth refused to sell him the vineyard because it was given by inheritance, and it was against the Mosaic law for him to sell his inheritance. Well, he came home pouting, and Jezebel approaches him and says, "Why are you so sad? You're the king. You ought to be able to do what you want to do." And so in 1 Kings 21 and verse 7 it says, "And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let your heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city and that dwelt with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, base fellows, before him, and let them bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst curse God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him." You see, this tells you the kind of woman that Jezebel was. She was willing to kill an innocent party so that they could have what they wanted.
And she didn't see anything wrong with this. Mm-hmm. This is the point that this worldly mother is going to prove to us as we go through here. Now, in contrast to that, we look at Hannah, and in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we see a different side of motherhood and womanhood here. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Now, we've got a whole different mindset between the worldly woman and mother and the godly woman and mother.
Exactly. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're talking about the biblical model of motherhood. And we're contrasting two different mothers, a good mother and a bad mother. And as we mentioned earlier, how do we define what a good mother is and what a bad mother is? Well, we have to use a proper moral compass. We have to use a proper definitions, and that can only be found in the Word of God. And because of that, that's why we have this motto. You know, you have heard what people have said about what a good mother is. Now let's listen to what the Bible has to say as to who a good mother is.
Amen. And so we look at this Jezebel, and we know right away, and folks that don't read much of the Bible, Tom, when they see that name Jezebel, they already know that there's something evil going on here, mm-hmm. because this is a name that is so associated with that which is evil. Now, she was married to King Ahab. And we learn a little bit about her character in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 29. And I'll just read that little passage there. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Now, all of this, this was part of an influence that he had mm-hmm. by marrying this ungodly woman who turned him away from Jehovah God, the creator of the universe, and turned him to a man-made god called Baal, mm-hmm. and then he became the proficient promoter of Baal throughout all of the country, and it was because of the woman that he married.
And you get a little insight into her raising, Jezebel's raising, by the name Ethbaal. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
It's Joanne. Joe.
Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
All right, Joe. What's on your mind?
I just got a question. I understand the Bible about the mothers and the mothers being all that. I just got a question about, I heard people say it's a little bit about tithes and everything, and I understand that department, but I understand the mothers, and got kids and everything, and some of the mothers don't have kids and everything, but outside of that, I believe the Bible is pretty good, and I thank y'all for being on every Monday night to listen to y'all to talk. Y'all done a pretty good job.
Well, thank you, Joe. We really do appreciate that, and we hope that you are enjoying the program tonight concerning mothers. It's a very important topic for our country, don't you think?
Yes, sir, but I can't have no kids, so all mine is a four-legged animal, like the dogs and the cats.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I got niece and nephews.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, but you can still be a good influence, even though you may not be a mother, right, Joe?
Yeah, I help people out with the kids and everything. So yes, sir.
All right. Well, good, Joe.
I got your phone number.
Oh, well, good.
Well, good.
Well, be sure and write that down and have it handy where you can call us from time to time. Will you, Joe?
I do. I go to River Life Church. They once spawned. They give us a calendar.
And
that's all I got in yet.
Great.
Well, we appreciate.
I can't read the Bible all that well. Cause I got dyslexic. I see stuff backwards, so ask God to tell me about the Bible.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, Joe.
And like I said, I appreciate hearing y'all every Monday night. I enjoy it.
All right. Thank you,
Wonderful.
Joe.
Wonderful. You keep listening. Thank you so much for the call. Great call, Joe. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, Joe makes a good point that we might just focus on just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just because a woman has not become a mother does not mean that she's not valuable to our nation and to our country and to the church.
To families.
You know, for example, I had an aunt. We called her Aunt Shirley. She was never married. She never had a child. But she was a good influence on all the nieces and the nephews, and we loved her just like she was our mother. And so you can have an influence in that regard, and that's what we're talking about tonight, having a good influence on children.
Amen. Amen to that. And we see here the tremendous contrast that we run into because people have not been having the correct kind of influence, the right kind of moral compass in their lives. We also note that this Jezebel, which was such a tremendous influence for bad and evil, this Jezebel also incited her husband to do evil.
Mm-hmm.
And we read about that in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse number 25. And there we read, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." She just kept it going, didn't she, Tom?
She did. You know, it's kind of like stoking the fire of evil on her husband, Ahab. You know, we talk about her. She was also involved in destroying prophets and therefore destroying the Word of God.
Yes.
In 1 Kings 18, verse 4, it says, "Jezebel cut off the prophets." In 1 Kings 18 and verse 13, it says that Jezebel slew the prophets of Jehovah. And so here is a very wicked woman. You're going to be saying, "Well, what about motherhood?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment when we begin to talk about her daughter. But she was a wicked woman who destroyed the prophets. She hated the word of God, as is seen in the killing of the prophets. And trying to kill Elijah in 1 Kings 19 and verse 2. But David, the New Testament also has a principle that also really undergirds the idea of a lot of our mothers who really don't like the biblical concept of motherhood.
Well, and just like Jezebel went out of her way to destroy the prophets. Now, a real good definition of a prophet would be this: the mouthpiece of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. He spoke through those prophets. And so the prophets only spoke what God told them to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she was destroying the prophets, she was destroying the Word of God, or trying to destroy the Word of God, trying to get rid of the Word of God, because she hated the Word of God. And when we get over here to John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, we have a very good illustration of a modern-day concept of the same kind of character and attitude that Jezebel had. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now, see, this is exactly what Jezebel hated, was the fact that these prophets were exposing her for what she was, and she didn't like it.
Don't you think there are a lot of women out there in our world today who does not like the idea or the concept of biblical motherhood?
Certainly.
You know, and I think that's exactly where Jezebel was, and that's the way a lot of mothers are in the world today. They don't even bring in the biblical concept of what God says is a good mother. There are a lot of mothers who think they are good mothers, mm-hmm. when in reality, in God's sight, they are not.
Well, you know, you mentioned just a moment ago where Jezebel took it on herself to actually kill a good, faithful child of God by the name of Naboth, who was trying to protect the piece of property that he owned because the law of Moses said he couldn't sell it to the king Ahab anyway. And she had him stoned to death as she plotted evil. She shed innocent blood in Naboth's vineyard. And here's the kicker. Jezebel did not see anything wrong with her behavior and her actions because they were based on worldly standards of right and not godly standards of right. Based upon a worldly compass that you could point any way you wanted it to be pointed, and not based upon a godly compass that would point you in the right direction each and every time that you pointed it out there.
You know, and that's exactly right. You know, we see this really played out, David, in the book of Judges.
Mm-hmm.
In Judges chapter 2 in verse 10 it says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah, nor yet the work which they had wrought for Israel." Now notice, there arose another generation. That means there was a group of people who were being taught or who were not being taught to know what the Lord is all about. And
right.
Most definitely, mothers played a part in that. And as a result of that, the book of Judges ended by saying, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And some of that, if not most of that, was due to the parents not teaching their children correctly. And in the case of what we're talking about tonight, mothers not being good biblical mothers when it comes to the raising of their children.
Well, and the key here is they were doing that which was right in their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people sit down and watch their television and they watch The View, and Whoopi Goldberg gives a point of view here, and somebody said, "Oh, that sounds good to me," and so now they're doing that which was right in the eyes of Whoopi Goldberg. But let's get away from all of these different moral compasses out there just because a person thinks that something is right, and let's get to the standard of true right. Now, we are going to get to the godly mother here after a while. Don't get upset with us that we're staying on this ungodly mother and ungodly woman as long as we have, but there's just so much to give here. Now, remember Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. No man lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. Mm-hmm. And what that means is we all have an influence. Now, Athaliah was Jezebel's daughter. And the prophet Ezekiel has something to say about that, Tom, if you've got that passage pulled up
there. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 44 and the first part of verse 45, it says, "Behold, everyone that uses proverbs uses this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art the daughter of thy mother."
Wow.
And David, is that not really? You know, we have sayings today, you know, an acre didn't fall far from the tree, the chip off the old block, two peas in a pod. You know, whether or not the daughters like to recognize it or not, they are much like their mother is. And if you have an ungodly mother like Jezebel was, What do you expect Athaliah to be like?
Well, you know, there are exceptions. There's no doubt about that. There are exceptions, but most of the time, the influence that the mother puts upon that daughter is going to make that daughter just exactly the way that she is. And Ezekiel 16, verses 44 and 45 tells us about the power of this influence that she had. Now this Athaliah married Jehoram, king of Judah. And this Jehoram walked in the way of the evil kings of Israel. And he also killed his own brothers. Now, you talk about looking for somebody that is evil to marry. Mm-hmm. Well, this Athaliah did just exactly what Jezebel did, except Jezebel caused her husband to be more evil than he even was.
So I wonder why Athaliah married such a horrible man as Jehoram. Who encouraged her to marry such a man as this? Well, I guess you can look back at her mother Jezebel, the horrible man that she was married to. And you know, and that's what we see, David, in today's society. When a woman marries a horrible man, what usually ends up of the daughter? She usually ends up marrying the same kind of man her mother did. And it's amazing to me. And I find it so often you see that let's say a wife is married to a man who abuses her. It's sad, but so much is the case that the daughter also will marry such a man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're talking about the biblical model of motherhood. And we're showing you what the biblical model of motherhood is by, first of all, showing what is not the biblical model. And we're using the example of Jezebel, and now we're talking about Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah, and how she had become evil. Why did she become evil? Well, more than likely, it's because of the motherly influence that came from Jezebel.
Well, there is absolutely no doubt, according to Scripture and according to everything else that you can get your hands on, we're going to influence somebody. I don't care who you are. Somebody is watching you, and you don't even know who it is. It may be a child. It may be an older adult. It may be somebody that's old enough to be your grandparents. But the fact of the matter is, when you are living your life and saying and doing the things that you do, somebody is watching you. Somebody wants to be just like you, whether you're evil or whether you're good. It doesn't make any difference. You're going to take somebody with you.
And who watches a woman closer than her own children?
Nobody.
And so that shows you how important, how vital it is for our women who are mothers to follow the biblical model of what a mother ought to be, following the correct compass. Again, mm-hmm. We live in a society where you have all kinds of different views as to what a good mother is. None of that means anything. What matters is what the Bible says is a good mother. You know, when we think about 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 7, we see that Athaliah's sons used the unholy things of the house of God for Baal. I wonder where they learned that.
Well, now we're talking about two generations removed from Jezebel.
So we have Jezebel teaching her daughter Athaliah evil, Athaliah now teaching her sons evil. Mothers have a powerful influence. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE.
Well, now, you mentioned just a moment ago, and let's not pass over this too quickly. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 7, we are told about Athaliah, that is the daughter of Jezebel. She had sons, and the sons used the holy things of the house of God for a false god called Baal, who was introduced by their grandmother Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
And this Baal was introduced into the nation of Israel by a foreign woman who wanted them to throw God out the window and worship this man-made god named Baal. Now, in verse number 7, we're told the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman. Now notice that's a parenthetical statement there. Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all of the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam, or Baal, the Baal gods that were out there. And so we see that this evil influence, it goes from mother to daughter to the next generation, whether they happen to be male or female, it really doesn't matter. Probably the mother has as much influence or more on the son than she does as she does on her own daughter.
And again, we need to be reminded of what Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, "For none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself." Mothers are going to have an influence on their children. What kind of influence are you having, mothers, on your children? Is it a biblical influence, or is it a worldly influence? Proverbs 22, verse 6, again, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." Training them in the right way, using the proper compass.
Absolutely, in the way that they should go. And that word, or that phraseology there, says an awful lot. There is a way, Tom, that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 14, is that correct? Proverbs chapter 14?
14, verse 12, yes.
Okay, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up your child in the way he should go." That way belongs to God. That is the moral compass that our society keeps saying that we have lost. We haven't lost it. We've refused to pick it up.
You know, when we think about this woman, Athaliah, who was raised by Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says in 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 3 that when her husband Jehoram died and her son Ahaziah came to the throne, it says there in the last part of verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 22, his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. She was counseling her son in wickedness and how to perform wickedness, how to do it. I wonder how Athaliah learned that.
Well, from her mama Jezebel.
And now it's being passed on from Athaliah to her sons?
Yes.
You see, that's what happens with wickedness. It goes from one generation to the next. And again, back in Judges 2, verse 10, "There arose another generation who knew not the Lord." David, that's what's happening to our nation. That's one of the reasons why we're having the difficulty we are politically. That's why we have the kind of presidents that we have now, is because of people not being raised up right in the ways of the Lord.
No doubt about it. Now, we got a couple of more things we want to say about this Jezebel and Athaliah. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We'd love to hear your comments or your questions here on the show tonight. One more thing here. It's bad enough that she counseled her son to do wickedly. You would think that a mother would want to counsel her children to do well. She counseled them to do wickedly. 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 10 tells us when Ahaziah, that would be Athaliah's son, when he died, then Athaliah's thirst for power led her to destroy her own grandchildren so that she might gain the throne.
That shows you the wickedness of this woman. Again, a woman who was raised by a wicked woman, who then raised wicked children, and then evidently not wanting her grandchildren to be in power. That's just purely wickedness. And David, is this not a word picture of what a worldly mother is all about?
Yeah, an ungodly, wicked, immoral woman. But in her own eyes.
Yeah. You know, David, there are a lot, you know, people say, well, of course a person like that is a wicked mother. Nobody would say she is a good mother. But, David, there are a lot of mothers out there who may not be killing their grandchildren, but if they're not raising up their children in the ways of the Lord, in reality, there's not much difference in that mother than Jezebel and Athaliah.
Well, I don't want to get too far off of this this topic that we're on right now, but when it says here that Athaliah's thirst for power led her to destroy her own grandchildren so that she might gain the throne, and her thirst for power and her thirst for the gathering up of riches for her own self, she destroyed her own grandchildren. How much different is that than a woman going through an abortion so that she could actually have more money to spend on herself, mm-hmm, and not on her children? And we look at the society and the moral compass that goes along with that says, it's okay, Tom.
Exactly.
It's
right.
Okay.
You know, that's one example of what we're talking about tonight. Another example, maybe not as extreme as murder, is a mother who is more concerned with the things of this world than she is her own children, mm-hmm, and then neglects them, doesn't teach them, or does not provide for them the things that they need. And the reason, David, that occurs is because mothers have lost, many of them have lost their moral compass. They are not modeling their motherhood after the biblical example.
Absolutely true. Now, let's get to Hannah. I've been wanting to get to Hannah ever since we started, because Hannah is such a tremendous example of good motherhood, of a good womanhood, of a good godly woman. Again, we look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, for none of us lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Mm-hmm. This Hannah ends up being the mother of a prophet. Now, as a moment ago, we mentioned a good definition of a prophet is the mouthpiece of God. She becomes the mother of a prophet. Now, all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and verse 18, Moses told all of the Hebrew women that they were going to, of their own brethren, they were going to raise up a prophet. God was going to raise up a prophet. Of course, he was talking about the prophet Jesus the Christ that was to come in our time, in our dispensation. But this woman also fell under that kind of and when he said that, every Hebrew woman was a potential candidate to be a mother of a prophet.
And that should be motivation, right? To raise their sons up to maybe perhaps be that prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, today, David, do not mothers have a similar thing before them? Not to raise up a prophet like the Messiah, but who knows whether a mother might raise up a gospel preacher. or raise up one to be an elder in the church, or to raise up to be just a faithful member in the Lord's church. Who knows?
It's interesting to contemplate this idea when Moses said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. That included Athaliah, who took her own child and taught him to do wickedly.
And what about the killing of Athaliah killing her grandchildren?
Yes.
Maybe they were one of them.
Maybe that was a prophet. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was a potential prophet that she was killing there.
And so it's a very important thing for mothers to raise up their children in the best way possible, because who knows what that child will become if the mother does it in the right way.
Right.
And sadly, what they will become if they're not raised in the proper way.
Well, just a moment ago, we read in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2 that this woman, Hannah, was a woman of faith. And this is the start. This is the start of motherhood. A good, godly motherhood is a woman of faith. And she prayed to God, which was an example of her faith that she had. It shows the spiritual aspect of a godly mother and a godly woman. She was a woman of prayer. And we see in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verses 6 through 10 that when she was provoked, she didn't retaliate. And we can go through all kinds of different scriptures in the New Testament that tells us, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Do not exact vengeance upon anybody. I'll take care of it, God says. And Hannah left it up to God.
Exactly. You know, on the chat room, David, a Christian makes an interesting comment. He says, mothers are raising future workers in the church. Deacons, elders, mothers are training their sons and showing them what kind of wife he will be looking for later. You know, and that's a very powerful statement there, that mothers are showing their sons, this is the kind of woman you ought to be marrying. It's the kind of example that I'm setting for you. And David, I would suggest that that's what Hannah also did for Samuel.
Well, you know, and this also illustrates another point that a lot of people want to talk about that is totally unjust. And what they say is that Paul's way of looking at things and Jesus's way of looking at things was very chauvinistic, because they didn't allow the woman to have a big part and a big role in the church. And Christian just shows us how tremendously big the part in the church is, because without godly mothers, you would never have an elder.
Now, anyone who would say that Paul degraded women just tells me how ignorant of the Bible they are.
Absolutely.
Women are exalted, especially when you look at how women in the world of that day were treated by the non-Christian. They were treated as a possession. The Bible have a much different perspective on women, and women are exalted, especially mothers in the raising of the children are highly exalted in the eyes of God. You know, you think about Hannah, how that Hannah was a woman of moral purity. David, that is something that is really lacking in our world today. You know, we talk about moral purity and teaching our sons and our daughters what moral purity is all about. We were looking up some statistics earlier today, David, and we found out that only 11% of unmarried adults are virgins. You know, that's an amazing fact to me, David. And we look at all of the, and it says here in some of these statistics that among men, the average man from 21 years and under has had an average of 6.8 different sexual partners, and the women 3.7 different sexual partners. And the younger a person is, the more likely she is to have had multiple partners. Where is the morality? Where's it gone to?
Well, there's two problems here. We have definitely lost our moral compass as mm-hmm. far as the morality and the purity of our nation goes. But not only that, maybe even worse than that, is the fact that we now have young ladies and young men who go through this, this 11% only of unmarried adults are virgin, meaning 89% of the other ones are not. We have those that go through this that do not see not one thing wrong with what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Not one single solitary thing wrong with what they do. And it's a travesty in itself to see this this kind of behavior take place in our society, because again, we have lost our moral compass, and we are calling this moral compass the Word and the will of God.
You know, you're exactly right. You know, Bear on the radio, on the chat room, mentions Proverbs 31,
mm-hmm.
And the connection with the virtuous woman and motherhood, and we're going to talk about that next week.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to pick up this next week and talk more about the importance of the biblical model of parenthood. But David, before we conclude, we need to hear who our additional sponsors are.
Well, if it weren't for these additional sponsors, we couldn't be on the radio for an hour without commercial interruption. We are sponsored by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. We're also sponsored by the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, located on Tin Top Road, the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas, and we are also, and I've lost my list here, you got it over there, of our individual sponsors?
Yes, we have the Hansons from Weatherford, the Swiggerts from the Metroplex area, the Keeters from Iredell, the Four Hands from Hamilton, and the Moores from Dripping Springs, who all have made generous personal donations to the work of the radio here. David, we have about 3 minutes left, or 2 minutes. Give us, in a nutshell, what we've talked about and what we have to look forward to next week.
Okay, well, what we have been talking about are godly mothers, versus and in contrast to ungodly, worldly mothers. And we have seen the biblical examples here. We didn't have enough time to get into the character of Hannah, which is our godly mother. As a matter of fact, we have one more comment on the chat box right now. Hannah was pouring her heart out to God in prayer for a child that she would dedicate to God, and we need to have the same commitment for our children, each and every one of us, and that is a very, very good point that is being made on the chat box. But there's one other thing that we need to get out there before we sign off tonight, and that is how to become a Christian. We don't become a Christian by accident. We hear the Word of God, and we believe that Word, Tom, and upon that belief, upon that faith, we must then repent. We have to change our ungodly, worldly ways to the godly, righteous ways of God, and then we must confess the sweet name of Jesus before men, that He is indeed the Son of God, and right then we must be buried into the watery grave of baptism for the remission of our sins, to have those sins washed away. Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16. When we do that, Tom, we will begin our journey unto heaven, being guided by this Word, guided by the compass, you might say, and taking us right on into heaven, and that is just exactly where God wants every one of us to be.
And that is the key to the biblical model of motherhood.
Amen.
Thanks for listening in, and you can listen to us again next week right here on this channel to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.